Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, soldier in arms, your comrade in battle, Sean Quali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hells and the smells of North America. And as always, we count it a privilege, we count it a blessing, we count it a mighty joy to be talking to you from this platform that we know of and that we consider Black Power Radio. It's an honor, a privilege, and a joy to be able to broadcast to you, to talk to your black minds and to the oppressed people who are here in the hells and smells of North America. And we talk to you tonight, of course, talking about and celebrating the legacy of a bold pastor, a bold preacher, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But we talk about it, as always, from a black liberation perspective. And we talk about it from a perspective that's real to us as a people today, and that's relevant to us as a people today. And so before we talk on that, we get off into giving you greetings. We got to send you some greetings, as always, from the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We're talking about Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who will send you and does send you the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum and Hotep and Shalom, Shalom. He says, peace to the gods, peace to the earth. And we say, what up? What's going on, my people? Here we are, black again, still enslaved mentally, still enslaved psychologically, still enslaved really even through the borders in the hells and smells of North America. And as we come to you, we have to broadcast to you in the spirit, in the revolutionary spirit of a bold, beautiful, bald-headed black man. We have to come to you in the spirit of a man who was 100% uncompromising, 100% unflinching, 100% unrelenting. The black man that said that he came to give the devil hell from the cradle to the grave. And we bear witness that he did give our enemy and the devil's hell from the cradle to the grave. We come to you in the spirit of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. And we say that the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad lives on, that his work lives on, his legacy lives on, his mission lives on, his place and his stake in this fight, it lives on. We, in the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we will never allow the mission, But more importantly, the name and the work and the legacy of the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. We would never allow that to drop out, to die, or to fade out, regardless to whom or what, regardless to whether you like it or whether you don't like it. It makes us no difference on this celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It makes us no difference. We will never let his name fade from the public, from print writing, or from anywhere, communication, verbal, nonverbal, sight, sound, or hearing. It makes no difference. Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, as long as there is a new Black Panther Party, and as long as there is an attorney in Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, as long as there is a Minister Hashim Nzinga, as long as there is an Imam Akbar, as long as there's a Minister King Samir Shabazz, as long as there is a Mira Sankofa Kweli and a Sister Queen Sheen and a Sister Khadijah, and as long as there's a Sister Queen Keisha, and as long as there's membership here in the new Black Panther Party, regardless to who like it, hell, you will never stop hearing the Black Power General's voice, and you will never stop hearing the cry of Black Power, and you will never stop answering the call for revolutionary Black nationalism and revolutionary Pan-Africanism. We're happy tonight. We're happy in a revolutionary way, and we are concerned at the same time at the plight of our people. We are concerned at the same time at the condition and position of our people, knowing that many have come before us to fight. Many have come before us in battle. Many have come before us to wage war against our oppressors, and many have lost their lives behind the liberation struggle. Many have been jailed and incarcerated behind the liberation struggle. Many have went insane and lost what mind they had behind the liberation struggle. It's real. What we are doing today in the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, it is a real struggle. It is a protracted struggle. It is a life or death struggle. This is nothing to play with. This is nothing to shuck and jive with. This is nothing to say you want to do it 1 second and the next second you say you don't want to do it. This is nothing where we can just call a timeout and all the players come up off the court and you ain't playing the game no more. You can't put another quarter in this machine. You can't press start again in this machine and play this machine again. This is the kind of game where if you lose your man on the board or lose your woman on the board and you lose your life, you're down in the dirt. If you're incarcerated in the concentration camps in the hells and smells of North America, you're behind enemy lines and you're Black behind is behind bars. This is real Black man and Black woman as we talk tonight on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s celebration of his birth and his coming into the world and what he contributed to the fight. Hell, this is real. And so, hell, we got to get off into the subject as we come in the spirit of our ancestors, coming in the spirit of all of those who have fought, bled, lived, and died and have given lives and taken lives for our liberation and our salvation. We come in their names as well. We come in the names of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. We come in the name of Dr. and Minister Huey P. Newton. We come in the name of our comrade Bobby Seale and his best day. We come in the name of our sister Angela Davis and Kathleen Cleaver. We come in the name of Sister Erica Huggins. We come in the name of the revolutionary Elaine Brown. Hell, we come in the name of all of those who have stood and fought to make a freedom way possible for those of us who were blind, deaf, and dumb in the hells of North America and ultimately all around the world. We come in their name. We come in the name of SNCC. We come in the name of RAM. We come in the name of CORE. We come in the name of the Deacons for Defense. We come in the name of Prophet Noble Drew Ali. We come in the name of Marcus Mosiah Garvey and the UNIA. We come in the name of all of the freedom fighters from our nation, going all the way back to Shaka Zulu and going all the way back to Hannibal of Carthage and going all the way back even to Imhotep. We go all the way back up until, hell, we hit the shores of Jamestown, Virginia. We're talking about a legacy and an ancestry that is unbreakable and has an unbreakable chain that has connected us to where we are today. We welcome you to Black Power Radio. And as you can see, don't adjust your set. Don't adjust your radio. Don't adjust your phone. You can see the topic. The topic is as clear as day. We're talking about a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. A white man's heaven is a black man's hell. Anybody who is sensible, who has some type of knowledge of self or some type of sight in this world, you can see it as clear as it is that black people do not exist in a heavenly state today. I don't care where you are in the world. You can't claim that because you're in California or because you're in Michigan or because you're in New York or because you're in Georgia or because you're wherever that black people in your state are in a better heavenly condition than the black people in other states. You can't say that. No matter where we are found, in the hells of North America, black people exist in a hell of a condition. No matter where we are found in the hills of North America, you find us, we today, as we have been for quite some time, you find us deaf, dumb, and blind. You find us without a knowledge of ourselves. You find us without our own home to call our own. You find us colonized and gentrified. You find us loving our open oppressors more than we love ourselves. You find us having our oppressor's name, the white man's name. You find us having names that have nothing to do with our people and even speaking a foreign language that is not our own. You find us doing everything to please others, and you find us not trying to please ourselves. You find us not fighting for the liberation and salvation of the black nation, but you find us worshiping and bowing down and lighting sparklers and fireworks on July 4th. You find us celebrating the white man's independence from Europe, but you have not, and we have not, waged an independence of our own. We have not waged a freedom of our own. We have not established a liberation of our own. And so we're in 2011 now, a few centuries down the road from when that first ship hit the shores of Jamestown, Virginia. And hell, we still today are in bondage. We still today, right now, are destroyed mentally. We're destroyed spiritually. We're destroyed morally. We're destroyed economically. Yeah, they took the physical chains off for the most part, and they gave you what's called emancipation, gave me what's called emancipation. But if you know about emancipation was only to preserve the union, the new union that the white man was building as they were forming the colonies of America, forming them into a United Snakes or United States of America. And so it was more expedient to emancipate the slave, which meant to let the slave go from quote-unquote physical control, meaning that they would not keep us on a plantation state per se, where we're picking cotton from can't see morning to can't see night, but that they would introduce us to a new kind of plantation, introduce us to a more modern form of servitude, to where when we go to clock in or we go to the university or we go to even go to the market, we are still in a plantation state, that we're still in an enslaved state. that we're still in a divided state, and we are not in a land of our own. And so, hell, if you look at it like it is, we still enslaved. And we still have to have some liberation. Right now, for those of you who believe that just because now you have a black president, and the black president some kind of way gave you liberation and salvation, hell, look at the condition of your community. Look at the condition of our neighborhoods. Look at the condition of even our families at times. If you believe, really, that just because you have a black president, hell, you must go and read a book by Frantz Fanon. Go back and read the book called The Wretched of the Earth. Go back and read Black Skin, White Mask. Go back and read the books, what they're talking about. Just because you're black and you, you know, come from quote-unquote African lineage, that even though you have quote-unquote African lineage or you have a black exterior, that you have a white exterior to the core. So none of you, my people, don't you ever believe that just because one of our own in skin color ascends to the highest position of office in this land, don't you ever believe that that means true freedom. Don't you ever believe that that means true liberation. Don't you ever believe that the fight is over and that's all that our ancestors fought for was to be, you know, in the highest, quote-unquote, office in the land. When the Panthers of the 60s, when they backed Shirley Chisholm, when she ran, they didn't back Shirley Chisholm because she was kicking plantation politics. Let me say that again. When Huey P. Newton and the Black Panther Party of the 1960s backed Sister Shirley Chisholm, they didn't back her because she was kicking necessarily plantation politics. They backed Shirley Chisholm because she was introducing grassroots activism into the political process. She was dealing with the community that she came from. And so we were able, and the Black Panther Party was able to align itself with a sister who came in a revolutionary activist spirit. And ultimately we know that she, you know, didn't necessarily attain the office that she was going after, but hell, she put up a hell of a fight. My point is that when you look at it historically, any time that you come pro-black or that you come uncompromising or that you come representing a program and a position for your people, hey, they don't let you in the office, period. You don't get into the White House, pay attention to the wording, you don't get into the White House pushing a pro-black agenda. It don't happen. Okay, it don't happen. That's why George Clinton said you got to paint the White House black. All right, now if you look at the history again, the White House and all of that architecture was created by a black man. We understand it came from our people, but they built that off of our backs, and then once it was built up, they kept your ass up out of there, kept us up out of there, and they didn't. They kept the ideology hidden from our people and kept it separate from our people, and they studied on their own in secret. They studied Kemet on their own in secret. They studied our mathematics on their own in secret. They studied our scientists on their own in secret. Studied how to bury their dead and how to cook food on their own in secret while you and me were still slaves. While we were still slaves out in the field doing what we did, trying to survive, they built off of our backs and built up for themselves. And so in our program, point number one, it tells you right off the bat, before you even get off into who we are, what we do, what we're about, it begins to tell you that we want freedom. We want freedom, and we want the power to practice self-determination and to determine the destiny of our community and the black nation. Stop. off of the bat. It's telling you we want freedom. So in order to have a want, that means that we don't have it. We have not acquired freedom. When the program was produced by the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, we didn't have it then. When the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, raised the rally cry and raised the program back to the world, we still didn't have it. It's still a want. So as Panthers, as revolutionaries, as activists in today's time, and especially those of us who are under the leadership of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to sacrifice? What role are we willing to play? What are we willing to do to go past just having a want for freedom to attaining actual freedom? And then beyond that, what is freedom? What does it mean to be free? Because when our people were emancipated from the fields, they had been enslaved for so long, they didn't even know what the hell freedom was. They had been enslaved for so long that once the beast, once the open enemy, once the oppressor, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, the princes and princesses of darknesses, once they emancipated us from physical, quote-unquote, hand control, we didn't go for ourselves. Even though we had the quote-unquote reconstruction period, which it didn't reconstruct a damn thing, but even though we had the reconstruction period, even though some of our people, through certain trades and deeds and maneuvers, acquired land, even though in certain instances we were able to build little farms and little schools, we did not get full and complete freedom. And so when 2011, we've lost a couple of generations. Let's be real. You got to be real with yourself. We have lost a couple of generations, especially with Iran-Contra and the Reagan administration and the CIA produced and induced crack cocaine epidemic. We have lost some generations. There are some youth out there today that when you mention Huey P. Newton, when you mention Bobby Seale, hell, when you mention the Black Power General, they don't even know who the hell you're talking about. And I can't blame them. I got to blame myself. I got to blame the Black Power movement. You can't blame them. You can't blame the youth for what the youth don't know. The youth have to be taught. I mean, yeah, they have personal responsibility, but the youth overall have to be taught. It is the duty of the elders to inform, the duty of the elders to inspire, the duty of the elders to guide and to shape and to motivate. That is the duty of the elders. And so, hell, even in my position, in your position, whatever age we are right now, many of us, since our youth are dying at such an early age, dying at 13 and 14 and 15 years old, sometimes dying 16, 17, not even making it to 18 years old, then as sad as it is, we are considered elders in today's society. You can be in your early 20s. You can be in your late 20s, early 30s, your mid-30s, your late 30s, your early 40s, early 50s, you can be all of that, and you're considered an elder. People are not even thinking about making it to 60, thinking about making it to 70, thinking about making it to 80, thinking about making it to 90 in your hundreds and past your hundreds. When you talk past 60 and 70 nowadays, that's a damn pipe dream to a lot of people. We read in the Bible where you see Methuselah lived 969 years. And that's like a damn fairy tale. That's like a cartoon when you start talking to people about our ancient people living past 100 years and 200 years and 300 years. I'm just saying, you have to begin to look at what happened to us as a people and how we got in this position and how we got in this condition and how it produced men like Martin Luther King Jr., how it produced women like Shirley Chisholm. Huh? You have to look at it and look at it for what it is. Don't look at it for what you want it to be. We got a whole lot of people out here that's idealistic, and they look at things for what they want it to be, but you got to begin to look at things for what it is. Look at it for what it is. Begin to appreciate your own history. I hear way too many Muslims, no disrespect to the faith or faith and religion, but I hear way too many Muslims talking about Arab history. Way too many Christians talking about white Roman history. Way too many Catholics giving too much damn praise. I'm talking about so-called black Catholics giving too much praise to that old pale, crusty cracker pope. You're giving too much praise to him. Too much, when it was your history that he's bowing to. In his office, he bowing to what's considered the black Madonna and child. In his office, in his, you know what I'm saying, history that he read about Cheops being the black man. Let's be for real. You know what I'm saying? He's reading about Ethiopia, and when they going off into Boston, they going off into the museums and looking at our history, looking at our statues, the limestone statues of our black people and our original people, who they know that if it was not for our people, would not have brought them out of Greece and Rome. Would have kept them in what they called themselves the Dark Ages. That's what they called it, the Dark Ages. It was dark because they didn't have any wisdom. They didn't have any knowledge. They didn't know. They just came up out of the caves and hillsides. They didn't know nothing. If it was not for our people, and it was not for our example as a people on how to be civil, how to be cultured, how to have proper relationships, how to communicate with each other, they still to this day would be the same way that they were in the caves and hillsides of Europe. Okay? All of them, from Herodotus and all of them, they all tell you that us in Kemet were black people. They tell you this from their own writings. Aristotle, who they consider, man, who they consider one of their greatest, okay? They consider him one of their greatest. He tells you straight up that the people in Kemet and Ethiopia were very black, he said. He said they were very black, and he said they all had woolly hair. Now, I mean, if that ain't us, I don't know who the hell it is. But they don't have a problem bearing witness, you know what I'm saying, in the secret and bearing witness in their old histories to who we are. We got a problem. We have a problem with leadership that is from your own ranks ask you to do something or ask you to stand up and be strong. Hell, we got that problem. We got that problem. We won't stand up and support our own. We won't stand up and back our leadership like Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz like we should. You say, what's that nigga up to now? He asking me to sacrifice. He asking me to give some money. He asking me to travel. He asking me to roll. What he want now? You didn't say that to your white teacher on the university. You accepted that knowledge hook, line, and sinker. Most of you. Most of us accepted that hook, line, and sinker. You didn't say that to the boss. You accepted that hook, line, and sinker. But when it's one of your own, now all of a sudden, you got to question it. All right? And so, hell, we have a great history. We have a beautiful history. Everything bears witness that the black man and black woman is the original people, as Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad constantly reminded us. Constantly reminded us that from the earliest skeletons, from the earliest bones, and from the earliest statues, all of them resembled us. All of them talked about us. Hell, when you talk about, again, knowledge and history and intelligence, all of even their statistics tells you that, hell, when it comes to us, originally, when it comes to us, and even really now, as quiet as it's kept, when it comes to us, we're kicking butt in all areas, man. Let's be real. We're kicking butt in all areas. But they can't tell you this. They can't let you know that you have more brain matter and more ounces of brain in your head than they have. They can't tell you that. They're not going to tell you that you can adapt to situations biologically more easily than they can. They're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you nothing about how your people were the first to sail around the world and the first to, you know what I mean, explore and roll to different parts of the planet long before they sent people like Columbus around the world. They're not going to tell us this type of stuff. We have to begin to learn on our own. We have to begin to glory and be happy about our own degrees. You got to make your own degree, huh? And that's real. You got to begin to graduate yourself. Teach yourself, because you know they're not going to teach you. You know they are not going to teach you. Let's just be real. They're not going to teach you a darn thing about yourself, period. Period. Now, why do you think men like Gerald Massey have to write books and have to give lectures and do things like they did? Why do you think it is that they would pump up a person like Hippocrates and all that, but they won't tell you about Imhotep? This is a brother. I'm just giving you a little history. This is a brother who, did heart surgeries and was healing all kinds of issues. Huh? Healing all kinds of issues. And then they talk about him being the real first Christ. If you want to be real, the real first Christ. This is a man from your lineage, from your history, from your history. This is a brother from our family. But they don't talk about him. They give the props to Hippocrates or Hippocrates. And then them doctors will go in and take what's called the Hippocratic Oath. But they don't give no props to Imhotep. But hell, Imhotep was way on the scene long before they was taking Hippocratic Oaths or Hippocratical Oaths. He was way on the scene long before. And so let's take a quick call. Got a call online here. Let's see, 214-672, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. Question or comment, Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Sean Kweli. Black Power, man, how you doing?
Hey, Black Power, doing well. What's going on with you, sir?
Oh, this Brother Supreme, Captain of the New Black Panther Party. I heard you say that you're supposed to be about the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King. I don't know. Brother, you keep talking like this. We're going to have to get you a job and send you before the criminal court of The Hague and let you plead our people change. Brother Mali got a great brother. I'm really passionate toward the way you speak about the Black Power General. You know, every time I talk to you, I get inspired. And, man, I don't know how you do this, but God continue to bless you the way you are, because we need you. Dr. Fraternity Mali Zulu Shabazz needs you. And as your supreme captain, I definitely need you in my life, because you inspire me to go and to grow and to be who I am, your supreme captain. You know, it's one thing about a person that's true to something he's not new. So I really don't want to get off the subject of what we were doing, but brother, you got to come here to the headquarters. You brothers at the National, man. Y'all rocking and got it going on today. I dealt with the King Parade, and 20,000 people show up. So, you know, the police chief, really one of them, handed to hear that so-called Negroes, and you got to give him a chicken and a biscuit, because he's been already sold out. So I kind of flushed up with him and did a little dialogue, and we chased a few Mexican generals and colonels around in the police department that we got to straighten out, and did dialogue with the people. But I got to help you, because there's something not right. I don't be mad at
you. What you mean?
Supreme Captain, there are some problems. And the way you're going at it, you and I, we need a little help. And Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz will love us for what I'm fixing to say. The people wanted to see our propaganda, and it wasn't there today. So it really showed that there are slackness in my job as Supreme Captain that I can't get the propaganda out there to the people. So Black Power Joe and I one time had a conversation, and just the way it went, he said, "Say, brother, were you out there pushing the papers?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, I bust 1,000. I said, "Well, I can do 1,200. He said, "Well, say, man, let's be real. How many you thought? I said, "Okay, 900. He said, "Well, that's good. But we don't have a New Black Belt important paper. So let's, as a Supreme Captain, Brother Kyle was responsible as the Supreme Captain for the paper of the nation. So this is my job. And for me,
yes,
not to have my tool, my sword, it's a problem because as a Supreme Captain, I'm supposed to have what you need to get to the people because a lot of them can't log on. They want something physical. They're like babies. When they come to one, they want to touch something. And the people wanted the New Black Belt appointed paper, and it wasn't there. So at this time, as the Supreme Captain, I'm the paper captain. So I got to ask every chapter that's log on, that they need to get busy and get us at least 150. How many people it takes for a chapter, brother?
How many what? So say that one more time.
How many people does it take to put a chapter together?
How
many people? Four or five?
Yeah, we can roll right at five, right? Go for 10. Hell, anybody listening, get you 10. Try to get you 10.
We got 40 chapters, okay?
We got more than enough. Keep going.
As a Supreme Chapter, I'm insisting that every chapter needs to send to the headquarters $150 right away within the next 5 days. The next 7 days, this issue needs to be covered. That everybody reported this money to the national, not to me. I'm on the national, but I'm at the headquarters. You're there. This one, you need help. You need help. I say, brother, it's not fair that you do what you do every day. God, the love of the Duke Black Club, the party, and Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and my defense are not doing the job. So I'm not gonna be long. I'm just being strong. It's the Supreme Captain, Brother Cutter, always pushed this issue. The Supreme paper pusher was him. And my brother left his, and you gave us, and my Dr. Jerry Malik, Zulu Shabazz had for us the paper. And the paper has to be out there. Now, I know I might be a little irritable and grouchy, but today, the people let everybody else do their thing. Let everybody else do their thing. And I was like a soldier without a sword. So,
yes, sir.
As a Supreme Captain, I promise not to be long, but I was kind of strong, but I'm very passionate in the love that I have for the New Black Panther Party. So everybody, each chapter needs to document that they have sent that money to you because I'm not going to take this passionate because this is my job and my responsibility as a Supreme Captain that I want this to be done. And I said that, I stand upon that, and God damn it, I'm about to. I want the New Black Panther Party paper in the hands of the people so they can get the word to the people. Black power.
Black power. Black power. And so hell, that being that, that's what it is. That's from the Supreme. That's from the Supreme. They're finally, and we still on it. We still on. A white man's heaven is a black man's hell. But hell, you heard from the Supreme letting us know we got to raise the New Black Panther newspaper. We got to raise it, and so he's instructing us all begin to send in your monies. He say he want $150 per chapter, and so hell, that's enough to cover all expense. And so hell, as a good soldier, hell, we hear and we obey. New Black Panther Party paper is coming up and coming out. It's coming up and coming out. Come hell or high water. And so we thank you, Brother Supreme, and we love you. And we love you. All right, let's take another call here. Let's see. 973-592. You're on the air, Black Power Radio, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. This is Brother Dashaun. How are you doing?
Black Power. Doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, brother. I just wanted to let you and your listening audience know that just minutes ago, a little early, I left Reverend Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, president of the National Action Network here in New Jersey, and he delivered a sermon honoring our brother, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I did a nice exclusive piece, and it should be up by tomorrow.
All right, well, hell, let's get that off into the paper then. That's just what it is. Let's get it
yes,
off
sir.
Into the paper.
Yes, sir, brother. I just tuned in. I heard Brother Supreme. Those look like some strict orders. I'd be afraid not to obey them if I was anyone listening.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, send that right away.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. But I'm going to keep listening to the show, brother, as I just wind down. Black Power, keep up the good work. Hotep.
Hey, Black Power, thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much. Brother got a piece. Brother got a piece. Ready for the paper. The paper is coming out. No paper, no panther. Let me say that again. No paper, no panther. All right, so let's go again. 404-587. You're on the air. Black Power Radio. Your question or comment. Black Power.
Black Power, this is Kente Allah coming from Atlanta.
Black Power, Kente Allah. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. We are, right now, we're going to make sure that we're going to have our $150, but we need to know where to send to.
Okay, well, that's a good question. I guess what you should do is email the headquarters, nbpphq@yahoo.com. Let us know when you have it so we can give you the correct place to send it to the national headquarters. We'll get you the physical address. I don't want to give out the wrong information, but email us what you have in your progress, because all the chapters are going to do it per instructions of the Supreme Captain. And so we'll send you an email on where to send it to for the new Black Panther newspaper.
Okay.
Thank you. That's the best way to do it right now, because I'm not going to give you the wrong information. Yes, sir. That help you, brother?
Yes, that was all.
Okay. All right. Well, much love to you, Brother Kente, man. Like I said, that paper's coming out. That paper's coming out. So Atlanta coming up right away. And hell, it ain't just Atlanta, but hell, the rest of the Black Nation is coming up. It's coming up right away. All right. And so, dear family, right, black at it. A white man's heaven is a black man's hell. We are proving it to you. We're going to tell you how. And we're going to show you by the end of all this how even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. agreed the same way. I know the propaganda. I know what the news say. The news say that Dr. Martin, you know what I mean, you know, he was stuck on his dream, but hell, after some key beatings and some key situations, he understood you can't change the nature of the beast. But check this out now. Just check this out. Now, look, according to Act 5, this is from October 1670, all right? October 1670, Act 5, Laws of Virginia, it read that no Negro, black person, as we say it today, as they said Negro, they say Negro or Indian, though baptized and enjoying their own freedom, shall be capable of any such purchase of white Christians, okay? But yet not debarred from buying any of their own kind. I'll say it again. No Negro or Indian, though baptized, okay, for those of you who are believing in baptism, even if you're baptized or enjoying your own freedom, shall be capable of any such purchase of white Christians, but yet not debarred from buying any of their own kind. Now, what that's saying to you in plain language is that hell, in that time and really today still, if you were completely free off of the plantation, in terms of physical slavery and servitude, that even if you some kind of way got your freedom and you were, you know, what they considered a good Christian or a good believer, and you're baptized and you're doing all that you're supposed to do by the statutes and laws of that spirituality, that even if that was you, that hell, you couldn't do unto them as they have done unto you. You could not, by legal law of their standards, you could not do unto them as they had done unto you. But, I'm going to say it again, but you were not prohibited. You were not prohibited from buying any of your own kind, which meant that if you were black or if you were a red Indian, that, hell, you could oppress your own. You could enslave your own. you could misuse and mistreat and abuse your own, but hey, you couldn't do it to them. So you look right now, 2011, hell, it seems like as long as you sell dope in the black community, they really don't message you that bad. As long as you murder and kill in your own community, they ain't vamping on you that hard. As long as you calling yourself their names and in their language and their culture, they really ain't dealing with you that much. But when you start to affect them, start to affect their pockets, affect their system, and you start to give back to them what the hell they give back to you, and you start to crush their lives, as the Black Power General called it, crushing the cracker. When you start to crush the cracker, then they got a problem with you. But I'm trying to show you how that stuff is legal, that they did that systematically, that it wasn't just, you know, court of opinion, as they call it. It wasn't just court of opinion, but they had legal statutes on the books that we, as an enslaved people, we could not respond to them in the manner that they responded to us or that they treated us, but that we were free and still are free to abuse, misuse, mistreat, devour, maim, kill, hang, hurt, and terrorize our own people. Okay? And so look, in point number one, when we say we want freedom, we're also talking about we want freedom from white law. That's what I say. And that's what we say. We want freedom from the white law, because the white man and the white power structure, they don't listen, they don't obey their own laws. They don't play by their own rules. They don't play by their own books. So why the hell should we exist under their law and go by their code? And in here, they don't play by their own rules. Now, for you foolish out there, I'm not saying go do something and act crazy. I ain't saying that you ain't got to stop at the red light. I ain't saying that. Let's be sensible. Hell, we got the laws of Maya. Let's be real. We have, as an African people, we have the laws of Maya. You know, reciprocity, balance, harmony, order, and all that. We got all of that. So we still have a governing force that governs our existence. But I'm talking about a crooked white law, a white law where they flip and they change it anytime they want to. They make up rules as they go along and change it for their own benefit, to where, hell, when you go to their courts, it's not really about who was right. It's not really about who was wrong, but it's about how much money you have. It's about how much capital you got. It's about whether you can pay off the lawyers enough money so that they can get you out of whatever the hell you supposed to have got into. But, I mean, hell, when do they get brought to court? Let's be real. I'm not talking about a case here or there. I'm talking about as a nation, as a force, as a power, as, you know what I mean, an enslaving existence. When do they get brought to the bar of justice? Any of them who you can go all the way back to that enslaving George Washington, when does he get tried for his crimes? When does Thomas Jefferson get tried for his crimes? And when does Abe Lincoln get tried for his crimes? When does any of them criminals get tried for their crimes? They never got tried for their crimes. And hell, even today, ain't nobody raising a fuss over the crimes that's going on right now in the names of black people. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't saying nothing. But when they wage war against the freedom fighters, when they wage war against the warriors and the activists, then hell, all of a sudden, it's just like the whole, you know, the whole situation that you saw in the story of Jesus. You saw Jesus and Barabbas, and they say crucify him. And he was a person who didn't do nothing wrong at all. It's the same thing. The new Black Panther Party has not done anything wrong to you and your people. We ain't done nothing wrong. We are defending ours. We have come for what's ours. Our time has come, okay, straight up. But you say crucify them. You say crucify them because, hell, these are your so-called once slaves. These are the ones that you call three-fifths a human being. These are the ones that are not supposed to have enough sense to have a desire to want something of our own. You the one that called us slaves. That's what you called us. You called us slaves. But when we tell you that, you know what I mean, that word originally applied to your people, you act like you don't hear us. That's what I say. You called us slaves because that came from your people. Your people, when white folks is fighting the white folks, and you know what I'm saying, and that root, what's the root? Slav. When you were called Slavs, which comes from Russia, and your Russian people got captured by the Germans. That's where the slave came from. You were called slaves. But hell, once you know what I mean, overtook, you know what I mean, our people through deceit and trickery and a system of tricks and lies, you put that title on us. Hell, the first slaves, they was always white. They was never black. For those of you that's out there tripping, talking about, you know what I mean, you know that we had slaves in Africa and this, that, and this. No, the first slaves held in the U.S. were white people. They were the British, for the most part. They were the British. Let's be real. They were the British. They were the Europeans. Yeah, y'all don't want to talk about that. Yeah, y'all don't want to talk about the white servitude that happened in Virginia. Oh, man. I know I'm stepping on some toes tonight, but I don't really care. Yeah, study your history. Study the 1800s. See, that's why, you know what I mean, our ancestors taught us that you have to study history. History will best reward the student his or her research. Yeah, history. History will best reward your students your research. Yeah, white people were enslaved. Yeah, right here. Yeah, we was the rulers. We rule, black man, from the beginning. We rule. We ruled from the beginning, and really in truth, we rule today. White people have always existed on a system of barbarism. Death, shame, destruction. Death, shame, murder. They've always existed on that. Yeah, okay, let's keep moving then. And so anyway, hell, don't keep accepting the white man's standard for your own. That's what I'm saying at the end of the day. Don't accept it as your own. Our people have always fought against enslavement. We have always, from the very first moment, we have fought. We've resisted. We've fought and we resisted. Hell, we've always, you talk about Nat Turner. You talk about the bold, well, we say the bold Reverend Nat Turner. That's in the 1800s, too. You know what I'm saying? Just with six people. Let me hear. We heard the Supreme Captain. We heard him talking about, you know what I mean, just needing four or five or ten just to get started in the new Black Panther Party. Nat Turner just had six people with him. He just had six people with him. And just with six people, he set out to set free over 3 million of our people enslaved. Yeah, over 3 million of our people just with six people. Some of you in different parts of the city, you're crying and whining because you might have three here, four here, five here, maybe 10 here, maybe 20 here. You're crying and whining talking about you need more people. Hell, Nat Turner just had six with him and himself. That's all he had. And he rolled up and went out to set free 3 million of our people that was enslaved at the hands of this brute beast white man. And so if Nat can do it in the 1800s, if he can do it in the mid-1800s with just six of our people, then what the hell are we supposed to be doing in 2011? Did you think that Nat Turner would visualize us in 2011 more docile, more slow to move? We less hard on the enemy. We ain't talking about getting free and getting the shackles up off of us and turning and burning the damn plantation. You ain't talking about none of that. When the new Black Panther Party talk about that, some of y'all look at us like space aliens. But what do you think Nat Turner was talking about? Yeah. What do you think he was talking about? The U.S., at that time, they were sending soldiers after Nat Turner. They were sending straight United States Marines and warships after Nat Turner. But hell, in 2011, we ain't supposed to be talking about getting free. He's doing this in the mid-1800s against the Marines and the damn warships, and we in 2011, and we not supposed to talk about getting free. Shit, but pardon me, but I mean, I'm just being real. Pardon me for the babies listening, but I mean, look, warships, Marines, and all of that. And this was after he had already destroyed 55 of his oppressors and our oppressors. He went after at least 55, they say, up. 55, he already, you know what I mean, he already handled his business in self-defense. He handled his business in self-defense and captured their plantations. This is Nat Turner. This is Nat Turner, a real reverend, Reverend Chickenfoot, a real reverend, Reverend Hogmaw, as the Black Power General say, with the chitlin juice running down your jaw. A real reverend is Nat Turner. If you want a real reverend to look up to, look up to Nat Turner. How you looking up to Creflo Dollar for? Any fool with the last name of Dollar, I'm going to be suspect of you any damn way. I'm just being real. You ain't got to be, but I will be. Hey, hold a whole family name Dollar so you can give your dollars. Look up to Nat Turner, man. All you preachers, be like Nat Turner. Hell, take out 55 of the beast in self-defense when your people are enslaved, and then we will understand your ministry. The youth and us as revolutionaries, we don't understand your ministry because you speak in an old integrationist, plantationist ideology. You speak in an old integrationist, plantationist theology, and you're trying to push us further and further into the oven, and we're trying harder and harder to get out. We're trying harder and harder to get out, but you want to keep pushing us in. You want to keep pushing us in. God damn it, I don't care what y'all talking about. You cannot wage war in a revolutionary fashion without having a spirituality that leads you into your revolution. I don't care what the label it is. Quit, come up off the branches. Reverend Nat Turner was as much a spiritual man as he was a revolutionary, a true spiritual man, because true spirituality produces revolution. Yeah, we'll talk about it. You call in and tell me what you think. But I'm just telling you straight, this man stood on his laurels, stood on his loins, and he took out approximately 55 of the oppressors in the name of his spirituality. That's revolution. All right? And captured the plantations. And captured their plantations. So he didn't just stop at some revolutionary justice and self-defense. He took the land, too. Some of these spots, some of these places where these boot-licking, buck-dancing Negroes is meeting at, some of you in the new Black Panther Party need to take a residency right where they are. You ain't got no headquarters. Take residency where these bootlickers be at. Set up a headquarters where they are. That's what you do. You ain't got no headquarters, a place to call home, and a place to meet. Man, push the damn bootlickers up out of the spot. Yeah, what you scared of? For what? What are we waiting on? If we talking about we going in the spirit of Nat Turner, yeah, he took the plantation too. Took the land. It's plenty of land to take in 2011. It's plenty of land to cash in 2011. You know what I'm saying? And let us not forget now, you know, some of you didn't like, some of you, not all of you, most of you did, but some of you had a problem because we had Warrior Woman on Black Power Radio. You say, some of you are so crazy in the head, man. This is a sister who the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad loved, absolutely loved, and she absolutely loved and loves him. They got his picture up in their teepee. Some of you won't even put his picture up in your homes. I ain't talking to the new Black Panther Party. I'm saying to you bootlickers, you won't even put his picture up in your home, in your office. They on TPs and got his picture up in the TP, but you don't want me to have on Black Power Radio. But what you got to understand is that, hell, when you talk about the Blackfoots and the Seminoles and her Dakota Nation and others, they was with us. They was working with us to take out the oppressor, man. They work with us. They was, you want to talk about them? They showed them in movies taking heads and skinning heads. They was skinning the heads of the beast. All them treaties that they made, they broke. The enemy broke. The devil broke. They broke it against the Red Nation. The Red Nation understood how our land had been taken. Yeah, there was some bootlickers in their nation. There was some bootlickers in the Red Nation. You know what I'm saying? That betrayed them too, and they dealt with them too. You understand what I'm saying? They dealt with them too. So hey, if you got a problem with the Sister Like Warrior Woman, you are deaf, dumb, and blind. And we are one original people, one original family. If you got melanin in your blood, just by nature, you part of this family. You part of this process. We make war against the beast, against the devil, against the cracker, because they not part of our family. They are not with us. They have proven for over 6,000 years. We keep saying 6,000 years. They have proven for over 6,000 years. They ain't with us. They not with you. They don't love you. They don't want you to be a part of the power structure. They don't want none of that. They have no use for you outside of your servitude or your labor, period. That's it. And really, in truth, they're making everything technological. They don't even need that. Okay? Be for real. We have to start pushing in a revolutionary fashion that will allow us and produce freedom for ourselves and our babies, even if we don't physically see it. Okay, even if you don't physically see the full completion of the freedom, you got to do it for the babies. All right? We're just talking about the law. We're talking about a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. And I mean, we're just talking, we say in Jamestown, Virginia, I'm just giving you some Virginia stuff, man. And we're just talking about, you know what I mean, the 1600s to the 1800s. And you say, well, why are you talking about that? Because that's what produced the 2011. Right there, they had passed a law forbidding black people from buying white people. Okay? And this was 51 years down the road after we was already in chains. So they already knew that after we were enslaved that we would want some justice. They already knew that. They already knew what the scriptures say, that as it was done, as you have done unto others, so shall it be done unto you. They know our people had already wrote that down in the scrolls. We already wrote it down. And so they made it illegal. They made it illegal that if you would ever rise up and gain some kind of power that you couldn't do them, you couldn't buy them, you couldn't enslave them. This was a law they put on the books. Okay? They put it on the books. Why? Because they know that a wide awake black man, a wide awake black woman, you ain't gonna be docile. Why do you think our people put the head of a black man or that black head on the body of a lion? Because when that lion wakes up, it got to roar. When the lioness wake up, it got to roar. It got to roar. We ain't roaring loud enough. When that lion and that lioness roar, he or she puts fear in everything in the jungle. There ain't nothing with good sense in the jungle that's going to raise up against a wide awake lion or a wide awake lioness. And I'm really even talking to the lioness, the black woman, because in nature here, the lioness oftentimes is more ferocious and more aggressive in terms of defense than even the lion is. The lionesses be out there for blood. They be out there for battle, because the lioness know that she going straight for the defense of the cub. She going for the defense of the cub and for the pride. Hey, they straight up anything to get in the way of that lioness. Hey, they straight up out for battle. And the black woman is like that today. The black woman many times will roar louder than even the black man. And I'm saying to the brothers, hell, if she roar louder than you, then hell, sit the hell back then. If you ain't got no roar and the black queen gonna roar louder than you, let her roar then. Get the hell out the way. If you ain't gonna roar, you know what I'm saying? I heard an old joke one time where I think the Black Power General talked about it. He said, sometimes the bill collector come to the door and some of us brothers tell our queen and say we ain't home. And so she answered the door and say, the nigga say he ain't here. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, come on, man, brother. Like for real, we have to begin to roar and begin to stand up. And that's what the whole world is looking for. That's what the whole world is looking for. We think we have freedom. We think we are living the American dream because we can go to school and go to work. But hell, as Minister Malcolm say and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, we are living in the American nightmare. It is a straight up nightmare here. And then you're gonna get them. You're gonna get them Uncle Toms or them whites to come on and be like, well, why don't you go back to Africa? Why don't you go back to Africa? Hell no, our people do go to Africa all the time. Comrades of mine, Africa all the daggone time. When we get the money up, got passport, we roll out. But hell, when we go to Africa, hey, you be right there in Africa. Africa is the number one vacation spot. Don't get it twisted. Africa is the number one vacation spot for white folks in the world. They be there. They be in Africa on the trees. They be messing with the monkeys. They be messing with the lions. They be in there messing with the damn flamingos. You messing with the grass. Y'all just messing with everything in Africa. You got Africa all on American TV looking all savage, and you know damn well it ain't like that. It's more savage right here in the hills of North America. That's what I say. It's more savage and uncivil and more beastly in the hills of North America than it is in Africa. Don't let them fool you and talk about you got people with bones in their noses saying ooga booga. Only thing that say ooga booga is them when they go over there because they scared to death in a natural habitat. Scared to death. Scared to death in a natural habitat. Let's just be real. It's their number one vacation spot. Now, look, back on the history, because, again, a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. And this is word to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We're going to tie it off. Hey, look, and according to, the Emancipation Proclamation in 1888 from Brazil, now that Emancipation Proclamation, they say freed all of their slaves. They say freed them all. They say that the British Emancipation of 1834, it wasn't until 4 years later, while the American Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, when issued, freed those slaves from whom Lincoln had no power to free and permitted the continued enslavement of those whom he had the power to free. So here you had Brazil that let all of its indentured servants or what it considered its slaves, let them all go. They stopped free labor right there, 1888, okay, 1834. From the British that came along, and then you had the American Emancipation Proclamation here in the hills of North America, 1866, and it supposedly was supposed to free us, those of us who were enslaved in the hills of North America underneath President Lincoln, okay? But President Lincoln, peep game, didn't have the power to stop it, didn't have the power to free us, didn't have the power to let us go. So, in other words, the Emancipation Proclamation was no good. It was the paper that it was written on was no good. So for those of you running around talking about Abraham Lincoln was a great president because Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, I'm here to tell you Abraham Lincoln had no power to free the slaves. None. Not even as a president, because the colony wasn't even together. It wasn't even established just on a political governing scale. It wasn't even together. He didn't have the power, let alone he didn't even have the heart, didn't even have the will, didn't even have the want to free us, period. Didn't happen. So I'm telling you, point number one, we want freedom. We want the power to practice self-determination and the destiny of the black nation. Look, we have to want some freedom. You got to want some freedom when you have been sold an American dream, that when you go to school and you graduate and then you go off into the colleges and you get you a degree here and get you a degree there, and then you're supposed to be transferred into a place of, you know, of employment, that you can attain some ultra extra mega millionaire status and you will never have to work again and never have to want again and never have to sweat again. This is what they sell you, brother and sister. How many people do you know in your life that live like that? Be real. Let's just be real tonight on Black Power Radio. How many people do you know that live this ultra mega million dollar life
They ain't got to worry. They ain't got to sweat. See, it's a difference between having a little bit of money and being wealthy. See, when you're wealthy, that means that not only do you have enough, I'm talking that standards, enough capital to pass it down to your children, to your children, your children's children, and your children's children, and your children's children. You can just keep passing it on down to where they ain't never got to work, okay, versus, you know what I'm saying, having a little bit of money here, you can buy you a nice little car, you can buy a little home, and you know what I mean, and you constantly always trying to you replace what you had or what you spent. That's different. That's different than having true wealth. True wealth, according to their standards, also is when you can pass the capital on down to their children, and children's children, and you got land on top of that, you got businesses on top of that, and not only you, but your future generations don't have to worry about nothing. Okay, how many people you know in your existence live like that? If you know any, it's very few. Okay, because since we've been here, we have worked from the sweat of our brow. We have worked from can't see morning to can't see night. Don't you let these old white supremacists tell you that, hey, you know, black people are lazy and, you know, like we said, like they have in the intro. If you would go out and get a goddamn job and like, come on, man. Look, we've done all of that. We have done all of that. We are the ones who support your corporations. Seriously, we support your corporations. We just on a regular level. We consume so much as a nation. We keep this machine going. It's us. We do it. You know what I mean, it's got to be more than just getting a job. Yes, our people need jobs, but hell, to have a job in North America today is a shaky situation. I don't care where you are. It's a shaky situation when you have a nation that is over $4.6 trillion in debt, and then the currency, as it said, is not even backed by gold or silver or nothing material. Hell, it's a shaky situation. Hell, the Federal Reserve and all that prints their money, that's the only thing that helps them to keep going. They print their own money, they keep supplying the paper over and over again, and it keeps circulating throughout the nation, and that's it. But hell, other nations, they not looking to do major trade over here. They not doing that because they know that the money ain't worth nothing. You brothers and sisters who killing each other in the streets over this paper, the paper is not worth anything. It's only backed by the resource of the nation to present and produce its own paper or its own currency. That's it. It ain't backed by nothing. And I'm telling you, the dollar is falling every day. Every day, the dollar value declines more and more and more and more and more. It keeps on declining, and it will continue to decline. I mean, just real. It's not worth a black life. That black life, whether male or female, is so much more valuable than, as the Black Power General and our national chairman teach us, than a piece of paper with some dead peckerwood presidents on it. Now that black life is so much more valuable, and you got to appreciate your nation and appreciate yourself more than you can appreciate some more worthless paper. Period. I mean, like we say, oh, get the paper, get the paper, but get the paper and use it for something productive. Get it without being a black exploiter. Get it without misusing your people. Get it, you know what I mean, by the sweat of your brow, as your people always have. Get the paper, but get it and use it. Don't be a fool with it. A fool and his money will depart. Get the paper. But don't put spinning rims on every damn car. You don't need them on all the cars. Just get it. You know what I'm saying? And get you some businesses. Get you some land. Get you some stuff that won't depreciate in value. The hell, I be seeing, you know, we see our people sometimes, and you off in the PJs. I done seen our people off in the PJs, and you got a damn Mercedes-Benz outside, chromed out, tinted out, system in it, and all this, but you in the PJs. Why? Why? That's backwards. Get you a nice home, brother and sister. You deserve that. You deserve a nice home. You deserve to live in some luxury. You deserve that. We are a better people than the way that we're acting and going right now. This is what the new Black Panther Party is talking about. Okay? This is what the new Black Panther Party is talking about. We are talking about your greatness. We're talking about people like Toussaint Louverture. Yeah, I know they don't talk about Toussaint Louverture, for real. They don't talk about Toussaint in high school. They don't talk about Toussaint really even in college, unless you take certain Pan-African studies classes, and they'll brush past Toussaint. You know what I'm saying? But hell, you know what I'm saying? Toussaint Louverture was somebody who was battling against that beast and that devil Napoleon. He was battling against Napoleon, man. This Toussaint was thrown off into what would be a modern penitentiary, man. He was thrown off into the penitentiary by Napoleon. You know what I'm saying? This, again, back in your 1800s, Toussaint working for the freedom of the people. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, let's just be real. Toussaint was a soldier. He was a soldier and a warrior. And even later on, hell, he was such a soldier. Napoleon even talked about wishing Toussaint was in his army. I mean, you know, I'm just saying. And you look on TV and you see the condition of Haiti today. You see how these pieces using these biological and chemical weapons. And these atmospheric weapons on our people, it ain't no mistake. I'm not being conspiracy theorist. Just read for yourself. They waged war on Haiti because of the resource in Haiti. You know what I'm saying? They've waged straight up war on our people in Haiti with these chemical and biological weapons. And Toussaint Louverture was a man just like Dessalines, just like Boukman. These were warriors who had worked for the freedom of our people there in that area. We've always worked for freedom. We have always worked for freedom. You know what I'm saying? And Toussaint even would use people who had once been enslaved and would put them in revolutionary armies and make them attack the oppressor and take over the land. See, when you come to the New Black Panther Party, it's just like being with Toussaint's army. You are ex-slave. You mentally and morally and spiritually and economically enslaved today. But we take the man and woman whose ancestors were physically enslaved, and those of us who are mentally and morally and economically and spiritually destroyed today, we put you in a revolutionary army. And we show you how to beat the traps of the beast. We show you how to beat the traps and the aims of the oppressor. We show you how to be strong and to take over areas, man. You know, the critics say, well, you know, I haven't seen you on my block yet because you ain't started a Panther chapter in your area. You know what I'm saying? Or we've allowed in certain areas laziness to creep in the areas. And this ain't just in the New Black Panther Party. This is in most black organizations. In most black organizations, if you're not revolutionary active, you have allowed inertia and inactivity and laziness to creep into the areas. And that's between you and your creator. If you see our people suffering and you see us down in the trench, you see us down in the dirt, you see us down in the mud, you see us going further and further and further down away from the direction that our people were striving for and gave their lives for, but we sit on our hands, we twiddle our thumbs, you know what I mean? We play internet tag all day. Ain't nothing wrong with using it, but I'm saying all day. You don't never organize for the people. That's on us. You cannot consider yourself a Panther. I can't consider myself a Panther. And then at the same time, be inactive and do nothing for the people. When you look at a man like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you don't agree with his tactics. Okay, fine. To many of the nationalists and revolutionaries, fine. But damn it, at least you could say he was in the streets. At the very least, if you don't give the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King no props, you don't give him no credit. You say, man, I ain't with it. I ain't with the nonviolence. I ain't getting hit in the head, and I ain't getting water hose down and all that. And believe me, I ain't with the nonviolence like that either. But I'm saying if you're going to say that, at least give a man credit to say that he was in the streets. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was in the streets. He was on the block. He was soldiering, man. He soldiered for what he believed in. You know what I'm saying? This man, he was a believer in what you call a peaceful, a non-confrontational method. That's okay. So he was out there with it. He was out there, you know what I mean, rallying and giving speeches and demonstrations. He was active in what he believed. So I can give him that kind of credit just as a brother and just as a soldier. I can give Dr. Martin Luther King that kind of credit. He was out there. You wouldn't have nothing to talk about of him if he wasn't out there. He was targeted by COINTELPRO, just like Kwame Ture, our ancestors as well, was targeted by COINTELPRO. I mean, he was also one who was named in the list of being one of those who was considered a black messiah. So you cannot say that Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't a threat. He was a threat. He was a threat, and he had the ear of a large segment of our people. I mean, just for real. You know what I'm saying? Just for real. He was just a brother who, you know what I'm saying, he was, he just didn't want to be violent. And I mean, he had his own role to play. He had his own role to play. You know what I'm saying? Now, in terms of letting us all hold hands and all that, that's straight up a tactical mistake. That's a tactical mistake that we have to learn from the lessons of history on. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just talking about his activism. I'm talking about him being in the streets, being visible, pushing for a cause or pushing for the cause. He was out there. There's no doubt about it. He was out there. You know what I'm saying? So if we would just take that spirit just to be out there, just to get active, I'm talking about in areas where, you know what I mean, it's inactivity, in areas where there's no visibility, in areas where there's not enough effectiveness to the streets and effectiveness to the conditions of our people. Take the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King and get the hell out there. And then once you get out there, put the Panther program to work. Put it to work. Look, when, you know, I got to call it straight. When Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., after he had met with many of the black power leaders, one who we will talk to on Wednesday, who will tell you further, tell you more about it, our brother Mukasa Ricks, after he met with people like him and he met with, you know what I mean, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and some others, as quiet as they try to keep it, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. began to change his political position. He began to change. He began to talk in a more revolutionary tone. I'm not saying he was carrying the same hard line as Kwame Ture. I'm saying he began to see some fault in his tactics, okay? And he began to take his campaign on a more grassroots campaign as it had started out. He began to go grassroots. He came all through my hometown in Louisville. He was all around the South. He was going all grassroots, okay? And then once he began to go grassroots and then began to get active and speak out against the war at that time, that's when they moved on him, okay? That's when they moved on him. I mean, you can hype the theories on how he got shot, who set him up and all that if you want to, but I'm just talking about his platform. I'm just saying that once he began to take a political stance against the war and begin to go grassroots, that's when they moved on him. They didn't move on him as long as he was marching on Washington and saying, you know, we shall overcome, although he was on the radar. They moved on him when he was grassroots and began to talk against the machine and talk against their aims and objectives. That's when he got moved on. So I'm saying that's when you become the real threat. That's when you're real threatening, when you're in the grassroots. If the new Black Panther Party is not on the block and you ain't out on the field and you're sitting on your hands at home, you ain't no threat to no damn body, man. Facebook is controlled by the CIA. MySpace, controlled by the CIA. All of that is all, I mean, you can get the information. All of that is designed to figure out and find out what the thought patterns are of the people, what's the best trend, and what's on the minds of people so they can market and engineer certain things. That's the basis of all that Facebook, YouTube, all that type of stuff. That's what it's for. We just use it for revolutionary purposes. Okay, you got it out there. All right, here's the event here. It's this Black Power General Day here. It's this, that. We're going to use it for revolutionary purposes like we do this. You know what I'm saying? You got to use your tools. You got to be wise. Use the tools. But don't be no fool. Don't get on Facebook and Twitter and MySpace talking about I'm going to the supermarket. I feel kind of terrible today. How do you feel? You can't do all that. You gotta use it for revolutionary purpose. You gotta use it for revolutionary purpose because hell, anything other than that, you letting them know too much. You let them too far into your mind. You gotta be on there talking about Imhotep and Ibn Ali and all of that. You gotta be on there talking about Dr. Daniel Williams. You know what I mean? Who was the first to perform that operation on that human heart? Okay. In 1931, you got to be talking about that kind of stuff. Yeah, give these so-called Jews hell on there, man. Give them, tell them about the, you know what I'm saying, the Falasha Jews of Ethiopia under Queen Judith. Talk about them. Talk about them. Talk about why the Black Power General called them so-called Jews and told them and taught them that they stole the birthright of our people. Okay? Talk about that. Don't be going there talking about, hey, I'm about to watch Everybody Loves Screaming. You know what I mean? Come on, man. To hell with that loose talk and loose rap. To hell with that. We got to get back and black to ourselves. That's what we owe Shirley Chisholm. That's what we owe Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's what we owe Minister Huey P. Newton. That's what we owe Imhotep. That's what we owe Toussaint Louverture. Yeah, that's what we owe Dr. C. Tavares and Ibn Ali and, you know what I'm saying? That's what we owe our people. We owe them to do better. We owe them some strong New Black Panther Party. Be real with yourself. The New Black Panther Party is the strongest pro-black organization anywhere. I don't even, y'all may have to tell me, I don't even know of another pro-black organization for real that's completely all the way black. I don't know it too many. I can't even off the top of my head think of too many for real. I really can't. I mean, there's plenty. Don't get me wrong. Don't write me no letters. There's plenty that love black, that's down with black. I'm saying that just completely black, got a hard-line pro-black, no cream, no sugar program. I don't know. Now, maybe you all know. But I don't see it. So I'm saying we owe our people a strong revolutionary black nationalist line. We owe our people a strong revolutionary pan-Africanist line. We owe the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, whose birthday we just celebrated on the 12th. We owe him that. We owe him. We owe him that. Sacrificed his life, man. I mean, hell, even while he was walking physically amongst us, was sacrificing himself, his health, his wealth, his being, his person. Sacrifice, families and opportunities and all kind of stuff. Just sacrifice. And then not even to mention his national representative, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman, who right now is sacrificing right now. I mean, it's going to be plenty of you. It's going to be plenty of you. On down the road, down the wheels of time, it'll be like, yeah, I love Malik Zulu Shabazz. I was with him, I rode with him, and woo, woo, woo. But then what the hell are we doing right now, man? It's always the people that come up after the fact. They'll be like, I love you, I was down with you, I'm rolling with you, and, you know, I got your back and all. But then what the hell are we doing right now, man? He's with us right now, rolling with us, got instructions for us right now. Building up a black liberation army right now. If you want to be real about a BLA, he building that right now. He building up a black power movement right now. Building up local organizing committees right now. What are we going to do for our dear brother right now? What are we going to do for the new Black Panther Party right now, the black nation right now? Because tomorrow ain't promised. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did not sacrifice his life for us to be cooning and being a sambo and to be all shucking and jiving and shuffling our feet and scratching where we don't itch. That ain't what he sacrificed for. He sacrificed to push us further down the road. Whether you agree with his tactics or not, that's irrelevant. Hell, he was out there actively doing what he had to do, and we celebrate him and we celebrate his contribution to the revolution. Hell, again, roll with us. Email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. Go to newblackpanther.com. Don't forget, get this New Black Panther newspaper out every chapter. Kick in your 150. Kick in your 125. Listen in for all the instructions of the Supreme Captain. We're coming for you. We're going to build the strongest movement ever seen in the hells of North America. And hell, it ain't get rich or die trying. It's get free or die trying. You know what I'm saying? Freedom or death, black power for black people, all power to the people. We love you. Join us again this Wednesday for another edition of Black Power Radio at 11 Eastern for our dear brother Mukasa Ricks. And once again, it's on. The struggle continues. Black power.
Niggas, he got his.